RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you first our news, followed by news from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, and news in brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you to you our daily segment, Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Indonesia and Pakistan should cooperate in fighting terrorism, diplomat says. Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises Ministry prepares agriculture clusters to cut rice import. Now, the news in detail. Former Pakistani ambassador to the U.S. Major General retired Mahmud Ali Durrani said that Indonesia and Pakistan, as two of the world's most populous Muslim majority countries, should join forces in countering global and regional terrorism threats. Durrani, who is also Pakistan's former national security advisor, believed that many members of extremist groups are inclined to carry out ill-advised acts, including suicide bombings, because they have been led the belief that they are fighting on behalf of Islam and that they have been guaranteed a one-way ticket to heaven, he stated in a panel titled Geostrategic Update, South Asia at Le Meridian Hotel Jakarta, Friday, January 6. With regard to this notion, Durrani thinks that Indonesia and Pakistan should work together in educating the public about the misconception so that threats of terrorism can be eliminated, as it has increasingly become major concerns for both countries and the global community. Indonesia and Pakistan can cooperate in developing this idea so that there are no militants growing in Indonesia, and at the same time, Pakistan can get rid of the militants that are already growing it. Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises Ministry is preparing an agriculture cluster program aimed at not only improving welfare of the farmers, but also reducing dependency on imported rice cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises Minister Anak Agung Gede Ngurah Puspayoga said for the initial step, the ministry has prepared 5 agriculture clusters in 5 regions, with each clustering 1,000 hectare areas. The minister explained on Saturday that it is expected that Indonesia will have 65 agriculture clusters, which is supposed will be able to reduce Indonesian dependency on imported rice. He added that 5 programs prepared for the program are Sukabumi, Lampung, Banyumas, Demak, and Bojonegoro, and out of those 5 regions, the cluster in Sukabumi is already underway, and the other 4 are still in the process. The District Administration of Kupang is Nusa Tenggara NTT is building houses of worship for 6 religious communities in the same location called Village of Tolerance. The houses of worship of Catholic, Protestant, Islam, Hindu, Buddha, and Confucius are to be built standing side by side in the Naipunan area of Kupang Timur Sub-District in Kupang District. Kupang Region Ayub Titu Eki told reporters on Saturday, January 7, after the groundbreaking ceremony to mark the start of work to build the houses of worship, that as head of the district administration, he is proud that the plan could be implemented after land clearing problem has been resolved. The region said the project will serve as an adhesive to foster religious harmony and interfaith tolerance already well preserved in his district. Chairman of the Committee for the Development of the Village of Tolerance, Anselmus Gejobo, said that he wants to increase the values of harmony and brotherhood in performing religious activities in the same location. Anselmus, the initiator of the project, said that the Village of Tolerance would be a fortress of faith against ideology seeking to sow seeds of religious conflicts in the region. He added that religious harmony would contribute to national defense. State-controlled Semen Indonesia, the country's largest cement producer, has maintained capital spending at 6 trillion rupiah, or $449 million this year, to continue construction of new plants, power plants, and packaging facilities. Semen Indonesia Corporate Secretary Agung Biharto on Friday, January 6, said much of the capex would go to an Aceh cement plant. He added that the plant is expected to cost between 2 trillion rupiah and 4 trillion rupiah over the next 3 years, while another plant in Kupang is Nusa Tenggara will likely require a similar investment. Agung remarked that Semen Indonesia is building factories in Aceh and Kupang because the government has tasked it as a state-owned enterprise to secure supply in Indonesia's western and eastern regions. Semen Indonesia is also developing a power plant project in Tuban, which utilizes heat from the existing cement plant to generate up to 30 megawatts of energy, which is then channeled back into the plant. William Suryawijaya, an equity analyst from Asjaya Indosuria Security, said the power plant should pressure from rising electricity price on the company's bottom line. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The Indonesian Agriculture Ministry, through its Plantation Directorate General, will carry out a coffee intensification program on 8,850 hectares of land at the country's coffee production centers. Plantation Director General Bambang said on Friday, January 6, that the activity aims to increase the plantation productivity and national coffee production. He declared that Indonesia has allocated 35.5 billion from the state budget for the Plantation Directorate General toward these activities. The intensification of plantation will be carried out in the form of improvement in the Robusta coffee plants on an area of 4,900 hectares in 22 districts spread across 9 provinces. The improvement will also be carried out for Arabica coffee plants, covering an area of 3,750 hectares in 17 districts spread across 10 provinces. There will also be an expansion in plantation area by 200 hectares in 2 districts of Central Kalimantan, Bambang revealed. Through improvement in plantation and expansion of its area, the Directorate General has targeted national coffee production of 637,539 tons in 2017, with a total plantation area covering 1,227 million hectares. The last item. The price of bird's eye chili pepper is blazing hot across Indonesia, exposing a lingering problem in the country's food production and distribution system that the government still struggles to overcome. Data compiled by the Jakarta Food Information Portal shows that prices of the commodity stood at 121,000 rupiah or $9 per kilogram on Friday, January 6, 4 times higher than in October. Local media report during the week also highlighted unusually high prices in other regions. Hiskia Respatiadi, a CIPS researcher on trade and social welfare, said if Indonesia only relies on local production, then food prices will also continue to be affected by erratic weather conditions in the country. However, The government remains adamant that the country can still meet domestic demand without resorting to import. To address the issue, Okenor Wan, Director General for Domestic Trade at the Ministry, said that the Ministry of Trade has tasked state-owned trading company Perusahaan Perdagangan Indonesia to buy bird's eye chilies at the fair prices from regions with surpluses such as Gorontalo and Makassar, both in Sulawesi, and distribute the product to other regions. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesia and Pakistan should cooperate in fighting terrorism, diplomat says. Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises Ministry prepares agriculture clusters to cut rice import. That was the news. Hello listener, welcome to the regular news from across the country. We present you the various interesting informations from all over the archipelago during a week. The first information comes from Bogor, West Java. The unforgettable city tour of Lovable City or Uncal Tourism Pass, owned by Bogor City, West Java, is scheduled to be operated on every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Bogor Mayor Bima Arya Sugiarto in Bogor, West Java, on Wednesday said, currently the bus is only available one unit for the first phase of operation. The Uncal bus is prioritized to support tourism promotion of Bogor. According to Mayor Bima Arya, the bus will be operated by serving the routes surrounding Bogor Botanical Garden and Bogor Palace passing the one-way system. The Uncal bus is the first tourism bus owned by Bogor, with a bright color bus completed by 13 seats. One seat can be boarded by two persons. It can be brought a total of 25 passengers surrounding the city. Arya Bima said, the bus is designed uniquely as characteristic of typical of Bogor City. The design is open so that passengers can enjoy the scenery while staying on the bus. The next information comes from Buton Utara Regency, Southeast Sulawesi. The Regency building two tourism villages to attract tourists to visit the region. The region of Buton Utara Abu Hassan in Kendari on Monday said the regional government will build Mandala Village and Nunua Jaya in Kalisusu sub-district with a beautiful panorama to become tourism village. The region said the area has hundreds of hectares of mangrove forest. Besides beautiful panorama, the local communities in the two villages still keep the local wisdom. Abu Hassan moreover mentioned that the development of tourism village is aimed at improving the role of tourism sector in motivating economy of people and the region. The latest information comes from Bandar Lampung, Lampung Province. The Muncak Sea Binocular Tourism Object in Pesawaran Regency, bordering Bandar Lampung, Lampung Province, becomes one of the targets of the residents' visit and crowded with visitors at the New Year's holiday in 2017. According to manager of the tourism area, the visitors not only came from Lampung, but also from Palembang, South Sumatra, Bengkulu, Jambi, Jakarta, Bandung, and several other cities in Indonesia. Visitors can freely enjoy the natural scenery to see Teluk Lampung region from a hilltop in Muncak. The businessman of the tourism object provided a number of locations to witness the natural landscape while take pictures in the location. However, the number of visitors at several locations to take pictures is limited in order to avoid fall accident, giving a deep ravine below the region. Some tree houses are also provided for visitors who want to ride and want to take pictures of watching the surrounding natural scenery. Listener, that was news from across the country.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, meet again with me, Alika, in our regular program Today in History of our Adelaide Service Voice of Indonesia. We start from an event on January 8, 1912, when the African National Congress is founded. The African National Congress, or ANC, is the Republic of South Africa's governing social democratic political party. It has been the ruling party of the post-apartheid South Africa on the national level, beginning with the election of the Nelson Mandela in the 1994 election, the first election after the end of apartheid. Today, the ANC remains the dominant political party in South Africa, winning every election since 1994. Its leader, Jacob Zuma, is the incumbent president of South Africa. Founded on 8 January 1912 by John Langalibalele Ledoup in Bloemfontein as the South African Native National Congress, its primary mission was to end apartheid and give voting rights to black and mixed-race Africans. The ANC originally attempted to use non-violent protests to end apartheid. However, the Sharpeville massacre resulted in the death of 69 black Africans and contributed to deteriorating relations with the South African government. On 3rd February 1990, State President F.W. de Klerk lifted the ban on the ANC and freed Nelson Mandela on 11 February 1990. And on 17 March 1992, the apartheid referendum was passed by the voters, removing apartheid and allowing the ANC to run in the 1994 election. Since the 1994 election, the ANC has performed better than 60% in all general elections, including the most recent 2014 election. The next event was in 2003, Turkish Airlines Flight 634 crashes near Diyarbakir Airport, Turkey, killing the entire crew and 70 of the 75 passengers. Turkish Airlines Flight 634 was a domestic passenger flight from Turkish Airlines hub at Istanbul Atatürk Airport to Diyarbakir Airport in southeastern Turkey. On 8 January 2003, the aircraft operating the flight, a British Aerospace Afro RJ-100, struck the ground on final approach approximately 900 meters or 3,000 feet short of the runway threshold during the inclement weather conditions. In the following collision with a slope, a post-crash fire broke out, killing 75 of the 80 occupants on board, including both pilots. That was today in history.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
This is Adelaide Service Voice of Indonesia with Highlights of the Week, which today takes the title of Government Confirms Discontinue Free Visa Policy for Several Countries. Indonesia has confirmed it would strike some countries from the list of visa-free for short visit after going through an evaluation phase some time ago. Coordinating Minister for Maritime Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, as quoted by Antara on Thursday, 5 January, said that the Directorate General of Immigration and the relevant parties are doing the evaluation. Minister Luhut asserted that for the purposes of tourism, visa-free policy should also be evaluated if it's not met a significant
significant contribution. Additionally, Luhut said that visa-free facilities also need to be removed if the citizens of the countries concerned are potential to violations in Indonesia. Earlier, Chairman of Commission 1 of the House of Representatives, RE, asked Al-Mashari, the government, to thoroughly evaluate the visa policy. In particular, the Commission 1 urged decisive actions for the countries that have been caught often abused the policy. The criteria of states that must be removed from the list for abusing the visa-free policy includes foreign workers and illegal foreign workers, drug dealers, and the perpetration of cybercrime. He said the government did not need to worry if free visas for some countries are repealed because tourist arrivals are not only motivated by visa-free only, but rather by the attractiveness of tourist destinations in the country. Meanwhile, the Central Statistic Agency or BPS warned the government to be more rigorous when deleting a number of countries from visa-free policy. BPS Deputy of Statistics and Services Sasmito Hadiwibowo explained that the addition in the list of visa-free countries to Indonesia since 2016 has recorded a contribution to the increase in the number of tourist arrivals. Sasmito reminded that the government on the potential for a decrease in the number of tourist visits. According to him, the government should examine more deeply which countries have contributed most to the number of foreign tourist visits. According to BPS data, the number of tourist visits cumulatively from January to November 2016 reached 10.41 million. This figure rose 10.46% over the same period in 2015, as many as 9.42 million visits. Details of the country of origin which accounts for the highest number of visits are China with 131,000 tourists, followed by Malaysia, Singapore, Australia, and Japan. That was highlight of the week.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news in brief. Former Pakistani ambassador to the U.S. Major General retired Mahmoud Ali Durrani said that Indonesia and Pakistan, as two of the world's most populous Muslim-majority countries, should join forces in countering global and regional terrorism threats. Durrani, who is also Pakistan's former national security advisor, believed that many members of extremist groups are inclined to carry out ill-advised acts, including suicide bombings, because they have been led to believe that they are fighting on behalf of Islam and that they have been guaranteed a one-way ticket to heaven. He stated in a panel titled Geostrategic Update, South Asia at Le Meridian Hotel Jakarta, Friday, January 6. Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises Ministry is preparing an agriculture cluster program aimed at not only improving welfare of the farmers but also reducing dependency on imported rice. Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises Minister Anak Agung Gede Ngurah Pospayoga said, for the initial step, the ministry has prepared 5 agriculture clusters in 5 regions, with each clustering 1,000 hectare areas. The district administration of Kupang in Nusa Tenggara is building houses of worship for 6 religious communities in the same location called Village of Tolerance. The houses of worship of Catholic, Protestant, Islam, Hindu, Buddha, and Confucius are to be built standing side by side in the Naibonat area of Kupang Timur sub-district in Kupang District. State-controlled cement, Indonesia, the country's largest cement producer, has maintained capital spending at 6 trillion rupiah or $449 million this year to continue construction of new plants, power plants, and packaging facilities. Cement Indonesia Corporate Secretary Agung Wiharto on Friday, January 6, said much of the capex would go to an Aceh cement plant. The Indonesia Agriculture Ministry, through its Plantation Directorate General, will carry out a coffee intensification program on 8,850 hectares of land at the country's coffee production centers. The price of bird's eye chili peppers is blazing hot across Indonesia, exposing a lingering problem in the country's food production and distribution system that the government still struggles to overcome. Data compiled by the Jakarta Food Information Portal shows that prices of the commodity stood at 121,000 rupiah or $9 per kilogram on Friday, four times higher than in October. Listener, that was News in Brief.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11785 kHz, and 15150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here's our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, a special program introducing Indonesian tourism, including places of interest, culture, and tradition, also Indonesian cuisine. Today, I will introduce Padaido Islands Marine Park in Biak, Papua. So stay tuned in RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this broadcast through www.voi.co.id. Padaido comes from the local language, which means beauty that cannot be expressed. According to a study conducted by the Biodiversity Conservation Network, Padaido Islands have the biggest biodiversity of coral ecosystems in the world. There are 95 species of coral and 155 species of fish, such as various types of reef sharks and octopus, as well as various other maritime wealth. Padaido Islands are coral islands with 30 islands in the Pacific Ocean on the eastern side of the island of Biak. Padaido also has a beautiful underwater park said to be the most beautiful in the world. No wonder many divers from home and abroad, as well as lovers of the underwater world, visit this beautiful island, Padaido. Padaido is an archipelago of consisting of 30 small islands and located along the southeast side of the island of Biak, Papua. Formerly, these islands were named Skotter, derived from the name of the group leader of Dutch sailors who first discovered the island in 1902, William Skotter. Padaido Island, which have extensive coral reefs around 1,000 hectares, according to some international divers, is an area that has the most spectacular coral reefs in the world. If you've been in Biak and want to visit the island's Padaido, you can go to Tipta Port in Biak and rent a speedboat to Padaido Islands. The journey across the sea takes about 3 hours. On the way, you can see traditional fishing boats and several dolphins appearing on the surface of the deep blue water. It is advisable to visit Padaido Island during the tide. Due to the condition of seawater quickly receded, it can be dangerous because the many reefs can be dangerous to the ship or boat. In addition to paying attention to the tide, you also need to bring food enough because once you are in the water and spend quite a lot of energy, you will feel hungry and thirsty because to see the beauty that is under the sea like a cave, you need a diving to a depth of 12 meters. Besides the cave, below you will also see some shipwreck, aircraft and also some other war equipment legacy of WWII. It's interesting. It is recommended if you are diving, preferable when the weather is hot, so that the reflection of sunlight can illuminate up to 15 meters in depth, so that you no longer need to carry the lamp for lighting in the water. If you have a plan to stay, you can stay near the island. The inn is simple but can be used as a comfortable resting place. That was Indonesian Wonder.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Listener of Air Word Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome back in our regular program, Miscellany, today with the topic Mathematics House for Students in Surabaya. Stay tuned. Students in the city of Surabaya in East Java, especially students of elementary school and junior high school, now have easy access to more closely acquaintance with subjects dreaded by the most students, math. Surabaya government has built a house located in the complex of Balai Pemuda. The house with a capacity of 80 students can be used for free by the residents of Surabaya has been inaugurated by the mayor of Surabaya Tri Risma Hari Ini on Thursday, January 5, 2017. During this time, quite a lot of students who have been wrong about how to learn math, they consider this study as quick and difficult. This can be seen from the value of math students in Surabaya, which average less good. That's why the Mathematics House is established. Mayor Tri Risma Hari Ini said that the important thing is the process of teaching, not just about the value. Math needs to be packaged in a fun as it relates to everyday life. She added in the future there will be some volunteers from the study group become the tutor or teacher in the Mathematics House. The learning process started at 14:30 p.m. until 16 p.m. and 16 p.m. until 17:30 p.m. Students who want to actively study at Mathematics House can enroll in Balai Pemuda, therefore the schedule can be set. According to Tri Risma Hari Ini, later the concept of learning will be more play so that students feel math lessons can be applied in everyday life. The chairman of the City Board of Education Surabaya, Martari, appreciates the positive initiative from the Surabaya government to build a mathematics house. According to him, the presence of mathematics house will be able to answer the issue in Surabaya where there are students who have difficulty in understanding the math. He said this problem is not only in Surabaya, but also in many other parts of Indonesia. Martari hopes that mathematics house should also known by math teachers in Surabaya in order to improve the quality of teaching. According to Martari, some teachers in teaching mathematics still more associate with the question and answer the question, not on what is the use of mathematics in life. It makes many children are not interested with math. Therefore, Martadi proposed that the mathematics house, as well as a place to upgrade teacher competence, teachers need to be taught how to teach mathematics realistic to make children love to learn math. Martadi also hopes that mathematics house is not just reserved for students that are difficult to understand mathematics, but also to nurture students who have special abilities in mathematics so that later can be directed to participate in World Mathematics Olympic. Listener, that was Miss Lenny for today. We'll see you again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miss Lenny on Indonesia.
Listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we will also play some Indonesian music. Well, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now, let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read a letter sent by Luis Camarillo in United States. Hello, Mr. Luis Camarillo. Thank you for your letter on our broadcast. In your letter, you asked to send you our broadcast scheduled for English program. We will send you our broadcast scheduled soon. Well, Mr. Luis Camarillo, we are looking forward to receiving your next email and also your reception report of our broadcast. Special for you, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Seputih cinta ini ingin ku lukiskan di dasar hatiku. Kesetiaan janjiku untuk pertahankan kasihku padamu. Bukalah mata hati, ku masih cumbui bayang dirimu di dalam mimpi yang mungkin takkan pernah membawamu di genggamku. Dirimu di hatiku tak lekang oleh waktu, meski kau bukan milikku. Intan permata yang tak pudar tetap bersinar mengusik kesepian jiwaku. Ku coba memahami bimbangnya nurani, ku pastikan semua akan ku ingkari. Terlalu banyak cinta yang mengisi datang dan pergi, namun tak pernah bisa menyiapkanmu di benakku. Dirimu di hati,
Now we will replay a letter from Peter Ng in Malaysia. He listened to our broadcast on October 7, 2016 through frequency of 9525 kHz at 10 UTC with the CO454. Hello, Mr. Peter. Long time we haven't received your letter. How are you? We are really glad because you still tune in Voice of Indonesia. Thank you for your reception report in detail. As our appreciation, we will send your request, but please be patient to wait for it. Well, Mr. Peter Ng, we are looking forward to receiving your next letter and also your reception report on our broadcast. Thank you. As our appreciation, we will play a beautiful song just for you. Enjoy the song.
Semua memang kesalahanku, bermain dengan hatimu. Semua memang kelalaianku, berharap memilikimu. Dan kini aku pun kalah, ku menyerah di hadapan cinta. Kau pun mengharuskanku menghapus semua jejakmu. Aku tak bisa ku kehilanganmu. Aku merindumu. Aku susah lupa. Jangan kau paksakan darimu. Aku takkan sanggup dan tak akan sanggup. Dan kini aku pun kalah, ku menyerah di hadapan cinta. Kau pun mengharuskanku menghapus semua jejakmu. Thank you.
jangan kau paksakan.
Ku takkan mampu untuk lari darimu. Aku takkan sanggup dan tak akan sanggup. Semua memang kesalahan. Bermain dengan hatimu.
You are still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday. Now we continue to replay a comment from Yukihiro Yuasa in Japan. He listened to our broadcast in English program on October 8, 2016 through frequency of 9525 kHz at 13 to 13.35 UTC and the SINPO was 35422. In his letter, Mr. Yukihiro Yuasa also enclosed IRC. Hello, Mr. Yukihiro Yuasa. Thank you for your letter. For your complaint, we will deliver to our technical division. Hopefully, next time, our broadcast can be heard clearly in your country. Well, Mr. Yukihiro Yuasa, keeps listening to our broadcast and please send your reception report on our broadcast. Thank you. For you, listener, wherever you are, we'll play a beautiful song.
Maaf, ku telah menyakitimu. Ku telah kecewakanmu. Bahkan, ku sia-siakan hidupku. Dan ku bawa kau seperti diriku. Walau hati ini terus menangis, menahan kesakitan ini. Tapi kulakukan semua demi cinta. Akhirnya juga harus ku relakan kehilangan cinta sejatiku. Segalanya telah ku berikan, juga semua kekuranganku. Jika memang ini yang terbaik untuk diriku dan dirinya, kan ku terima semua demi
dirimu.
cinta.
Well, listener, we would like to say thank you for Christmas and New Year greetings that you have sent to us. We really appreciate that. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you all. Hopefully this year, 2017, is better than last year. Well, actually, we have received many emails, but unfortunately, we have to sign off now. Thank you for always listening to Voice of Indonesia and visit our Facebook fan page. We also appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letter to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, 10110, Indonesia. I'll repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, 10110, Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi.english@gmail.com, voi.english@gmail.com, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan page on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and the Voice of Indonesia, or follow our Twitter at VOI Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we will play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Alika, thank you for listening, and we will meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag.
Takkan pernah habis air mataku bila ku ingat tentang dirimu. Mungkin hanya kau yang tahu mengapa sampai saat ini ku masih sendiri. Adakah di sana kau rindu padaku, meski kita kini ada di dunia berbeda. Bila masih mungkin waktu ku putar dan ku tunggu dirimu. Biarlah ku simpan sampai nanti aku kan ada di sana. Tenanglah dirimu dalam kedamaian, ingatlah cintaku. Kau tak terlihat lagi, namun cintamu abadi. Adakah di sana kau rindu padaku, meski kita kini ada di dunia berbeda. Bila masih mungkin waktu ku putar, ku tunggu dirimu. Biarlah ku simpan sampai nanti sana. Tenanglah dirimu dalam
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.